coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
You know, I do believe that the emergency powers that we saw over the last couple of years were a test to see what Americans would put up with. With me right now is Dave Hodges on this Monday, September 25th, 2023. I'm so pleased and just tickled to have Dave Hodges with me. We were talking, I think it was over the weekend or maybe end of last week about Maui. You know, where are the flowers, the teddy bears, the memorials? Where are the people that have really been displaced? What's really taking place at Maui, and why isn't the national media? Why aren't they asking questions? That's my concern. To explain, well, I'll tell you what, to Dave Hodges, to go and do some incredible investigative work. And if you, by the way, if you go to thecommonsenseshow.com, the link will be in the program description box at hagmanpi.com. If you go to his website, you can watch numerous videos that he's done about this topic. This will really kind of condense a lot of it. into today's show. But I've got to tell you something. The things that he has found verify what you already know, but also bring to the table things you don't know. So with me, Dave Hodges. Dave, thanks for being with me, my friend.
Pleasure to be with you, Doug. We go back a long way, don't we?
You know, I was thinking about that. We do. I mean... I'm not sure I had gray hair. No.
There was a time when we were both handsome, right?
Yeah. Now, as Eric says, I'm dust, you know, but anyway, But I've always known you to be once you grab onto something, you're like a dog with a bone, and I appreciate that. Let's talk Maui and all things Maui. What the hell is going on?
Well, let me tell you what I know and what I can prove, and I want to focus mostly on what I could prove.
Okay.
But people want to know what really happened in Lahaina, and people reach for things that are convenient excuses that make sense, and I understand that. But I like to say what I can prove. What I can prove was this, is that state and local officials in Hawaii were poised to pounce on Lahaina and carve up their land because they were uncooperative with developers. The developers have been trying, like Keller Williams, they've been trying to buy them out for years, really decades. And these people have resisted and said, no, there's a very strong culture that was present in Lahaina, a very indigenous native culture, one that's very spiritually oriented. And these people, that was more important to them than any short-term financial gain. And so I have really been impressed with the character and the resilience of these people in Lahaina. But the state was prepared to pounce. I'll just give you a couple of examples, Doug. When Governor Josh Green was inaugurated in January, he immediately went to the United Nations and said, Hawaii fully supports smart cities. We're going to make smart islands and this and that. And in the background of this keynote speech he was making, you see the UN Agenda 2030, you know, billboard posters. So no question where he was at and what he was saying. During that same month, this most bizarre thing happened. I've never seen this before. One of the land management divisions of the Hawaii state government actually allocated $750 million in a purchase of Lahaina for the construction of 50 one-acre homes. But wait a minute. The site was overlaid over existing property owners. I'm thinking, what the hell? Are they just waiting for something to happen? Well, then Josh Green came out with a proclamation right before the fire. And he said, you know, we know Lahaina is an historically preserved site. That gives them protection. And it really gives them protection under indigenous protection laws, civil rights laws in the United States. But he said, but if there's a natural disaster, we get to rezone the land. I don't know how obvious this could be. And then, of course, they bring in John Peltier, the incident commander, critical incident commander in Las Vegas for the Mandalay shooting, of which we know there were several shooters. And there, the Las Vegas police were really doing a credible job investigating it until, for some reason, the FBI thought they had the authority to show up, and they didn't. And they took over the investigation, and John Peltier became their stooge, and he did exactly what they told him to do. And I believe it's pretty obvious that John Peltier was brought in 9 months before the fire. And I think this probably was planned ahead of time. Now, this is what I speculate. It's not what I could necessarily prove in a court of law, but it's sure one hell of a coincidence that you have the largest mass shooting in the United States where this man was the principal investigator controlled by the FBI. And now he comes in and the worst fire in American history, and they say 85 dead. That's bullcrap. It's probably in the vicinity of about 3,000 people. And so this makes it the largest fire casualties in United States history. And he's the overseer of both of them. And so that kind of gives you, I think it was a planned event. That's my speculation.
Before you move away from Peltier, he brought his deputy with him as well, or his deputy somehow. One of his associates / underlings came with him to Lahaina. It's amazing how tragedy just follows this man. Go ahead.
Well, I agree with you. His management style is one of not being a nice human being. He's had 7 workplace harassment claims filed against him prior to the fire. And this is by his own department. One lieutenant who retired early came out and just eviscerated him and talked about what kind of person he is. And it's kind of like building the moral character of the person here.
Yes.
Capable of doing things that most of us wouldn't even think of doing to other human beings. And so let's talk about what happened on that day, Doug.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Let me back up. I was going to talk about Eric West for a second. Eric West is a hero. He doesn't want a leadership role, but he's taken a leadership role. It's kind of like Audie Murphy. You know, I don't want to be an officer, but you're a leader, Audie. So anyway, he's that kind of guy. And here's what he did. And when people say there was directed energy weapons used in Maui, Eric West gives you the best, I think, evidence to at least justify a criminal investigation. He came to 2 sites with a videographer and an expert. In one instance, he found 2 cars that had been burned out. Now, we know the wildfire. Keep this in mind, people. The wildfire burns at 1,472 degrees. But to melt metal, it takes between 2,200 and 2,550 degrees Fahrenheit. And he found melted metal. And in a press conference, Chief John Peltier said, we don't know if we're going to find all the bodies because this melted metal. He admitted to how hot it was, I think, without realizing it. So this wasn't a normal wildfire with temperatures. And what Eric found in this cul-de-sac was interesting. You see the pit marks, okay? And I maintain the pit marks could have been due energy weapons being fired at these cars while they're on the highway. They turned off onto, you know, the side part of the road into a cul-de-sac. And these cars were burned out. Metal was melted. And what we see to the side of one car was a former image of what was a cell phone. And my feeling was when Eric showed this, I thought, oh my gosh, where's the human? And then in the other car next to it, dog fur remained. Where's the dog? Well, it evaporated. It was eviscerated. And he found another scene along the highway like that. Now, interesting on the first scene, the burn pattern was it matched the cul-de-sac. In other words, the cul-de-sac curved like the bottom end of a figure eight, and the burn pattern matched that perfectly. I've never seen it. It didn't cross the sidewalk, just paralleled it, and the cars were about 15, 20 feet inside that cul-de-sac outer perimeter. Now, to the east of these cars, at a distance, I estimate, of about 100 feet, there are some nice homes. And you see the scorch marks on some of the block fences, but the houses are intact. And then there's vegetation growing next to the cars. This was not a fire that went through. That's the best evidence for selective use of dew weapons. And we saw this in the Paradise Fire in California. And then Eric came across another scene farther up the road where he found a burned out car. By the way, he was chased off the scene by the police. Can't have you looking at these things. Can't take pictures of these things. And so, you know, they built the tarp around the city and started arresting anyone who wanted to look over the tarp to see what they were up to. So I think Eric gives you the best evidence it was directed energy weapons. And they had the construction of a cover story, Doug. About 7 months, 8 months before the event, Channel 2 News out of Honolulu ran an image of some green light coming down from the sky. And without referencing who told them, without documenting the story, they said, these are Chinese lasers. But don't worry, if you looked at them, you're going to be okay. It's not harmful to look at. And I'm thinking, who told you this? And in this news report, they never revealed it. And then they ran a similar story about 4 months later. They were creating a fallback plausible deniability victim. It's the Chinese. It's the Chinese. Now, they haven't had to fully go to that yet, but that's their plausible deniability they built.
Jeez. Okay. Yeah. You know, it's difficult to authenticate videos nowadays. It's difficult to say, okay, this happened here. You're relying on certain individuals that are saying this without providing any kind of authentic affidavit or oath behind the video or image. So, you know, you have to, a lot of this information, you have to take it at face value, I suppose. Now, Eric West, by the way, Hawaii Real Estate, I believe is his channel on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Incredible, incredible investigative work. His latest videos demanding that this whole thing be turned into a crime scene. And by the way, there is a drone footage. I don't know when that was. I think that was taken. It might have been within a day after. Let's see. It was the day after the footage. It's a 4K drone, Lahaina Maui fire. And this was featured on Hawaii Real Estate, the YouTube channel, Eric West, mm-hmm. of course. And that was a month ago that this was featured there. But you can see the devastation there. But yeah, you're right. Look, I mean, whatever started, it could be a combination of things, right? It could be dew weapons. It could be arsonists. It could be both. It could be, I mean, there's a lot of things
Well, there's another element, Doug.
Go ahead.
I've had a source for 20 years now, and he was involved in very high-level military operations, and he's well-connected still today, and he has a security clearance still, which is not unusual for a retired higher-ranking general, because they'll be brought in at minimum consultants and a big deal. Thank you for showing that video. You see the devastation there, but it's conveniently skipped over some of the areas here, like this area you're coming up on here to the right. This area, I forget the name of the development, but it was completely spared. And these are, you say these are modest structures, but in the location, these are $1 to $3 million homes.
I couldn't afford it. I mean,
no, they're very, very high level. Yeah. And you can, you know, they're doing a good job of panning out here. They burned out the central part of Lahaina, which they wanted to gather.
And by the way, this was taken before anything. It's my understanding this was taken before anyone knew what the hell happened. Okay, so although it's featured on Eric West's site, we have to just understand that this is raw footage taken by drone when it was allowed. You can't fly a drone there now. They won't let you fly drones at all. But and this is not going to show everything, and specifically, it's not going to show the things you're talking about. But it gives you a good idea of what's going on. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. We need to get down to the actions of the officials on that day, because some people say, "Well, Dave, how do you know this is a conspiracy?" it's not only a conspiracy. There was a deliberate intent to drive up the death count. The issue of the sirens comes up, and Herman Adiah, who was the emergency management director at the time, who resigned a few days later after the event because of health reasons, he gave the worst press conference I'd ever seen, and the governor, Josh Green, actually doubled down on it. Herman Adiah said, when he was asked, why didn't you sound the sirens when the fire was coming and give the people a chance? And he said, well, that's not called for with the sirens. They're only for tsunamis, and our fear was the people had run out of their homes and run up the hill towards the fire and been burned up. So no, instead, they stayed in their homes without warning and got burned up. And then he said the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Music and air conditioners might have been on at the time, and they wouldn't have heard it anyway. And then the governor came on two speakers later and said, oh, yeah, when I lived near the beach of this island, they told us they're only going to sound the tsunamis or sirens for the tsunamis. Well, that was true. Now, I don't know if they've modified this, Doug, because you know how they cover evidence. But after I heard that press conference, it was the first one, I went to the state of Hawaii website to look at their emergency protocols, and sirens are to be sounded for any emergency. Whether it's a military attack or whether it's a tropical storm or a hurricane or a fire, that was supposed to have been sounded. That's number one. Okay. So
get you to pay attention. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And we'll never be able to know how many people could have been saved, but some would have been saved. There's no question. Then you have the issue of turning off the water. And, this Kaleo Manuel, who's, by the way, been illegally transferred into another government position. And I say illegally because they never advertised the position they moved him into in violation of their civil service protocols. So this is just typical of how they're breaking all the rules. But he was transferred. But while he was the head of the water board, he had the ability to turn the water on to basically fight the fire. And I've seen video where firefighters are got their hoses and they're attached to the hydrants and they're fighting the fire. And you see citizens even out with their garden hoses. And then all of a sudden the water is shut off. Now he was asked, why did you not turn that water on? And he gave a psychobabble new age discussion of it was 1970, circa New Age. I thought we were listening to the Age of Aquarius. A water is sacred, and we must develop a new relationship with the water. And I'm thinking, you jackass, do you know how many people just died because you didn't turn that water on? And yet, that's criminal negligence, but he's not being charged. Herman Adiah, criminal negligence. And this is minimum. I think you could get him for criminal manslaughter, and if you could improve, if you could prove intent, now you got criminal first-degree murder, but minimum, you got criminal negligence going on here, and nothing has happened to these people. And then you get down to John Peltier, and I'm going to bring in the U.S. Congress on this too. John Peltier made the decision to block the exits from Lahaina, but what's interesting is the morning of the fire, hours before, we have video of Lahaina school buses carrying tourists through Lahaina and out of the region. Ostensibly, you're thinking they're going to the airport. We don't know that for sure, but that would be the assumption. But they use the bus for that, and then they close the exits. Well, who would have made that decision? Police chief. Why would you close the exits after you had a known coming emergency and you moved the tourists through your city? Why would you block the exits? And I've counted, Doug, and I don't know if this is an exact number, but I can only report what I've seen. What I've seen on video and what the eyewitness supporting testimonies tell us is there were at least 8 blocked intersections by the police. That's what I can count. Now, it could have been more. Now, conversely, Hawaii Electric, that's taking the blame for all this, and I'll tie all this together in a second, they're being investigated for blocking off one exit, but they were removing downed power lines that were in the road. But here's what's interesting. The police chief used the downed power lines as the excuse to block the exits to save the people. And I'm thinking, this is another Herman Adiah explanation. They wouldn't have heard the sirens because their air conditioners are on. He said, well, we're protecting them from down power lines. Wait a minute. You got a raging fire coming at these people from behind, and you're blocking them because of down power lines. I would take my chances with down power lines. Any non-jackass person would take their chances with the power lines. It's ridiculous, but here's what we see in this video. Hawaii Electric is stripping these power lines down and moving them out of the way. They weren't live. You have their workers walking right up to them. And Hawaii Electric has said on the record that they turned off the power 6 hours before the fire reached Lahaina. So Peltier's excuse is a bold-faced lie to trap these people inside. So here we have no water to fight the fire. You have the sirens not warning the people and then blocking their escape routes. They were trapped like rats in a cage for extermination. That's the only conclusion. And now they're covering it up. There was a report on Hawaii News Now, mainstream media, and this lady, Mahala Richardson, is a reporter. She was reporting from a gun range, and I can't recall the name. It's a Hawaiian name. It's a gun range. They had loaded topsoil of Lahaina into these trucks. And the trucks, as she reported, came to this gun range, and she showed EPA workers in their suits transferring the dirt into these 55-gallon drums. And she reported that she was told by the EPA that the drums were going to be transferred to the mainland, and they're stored in an unnamed location. This is called tampering with evidence. Now, here's what's interesting. People like myself were reporting on this. I saw the video and I go, well, interesting. I'll come back later this afternoon and put it in another report. By the time I had come back, that news report was scrubbed. Fortunately, a couple of other people had saved it, which I should have done, and I borrowed from them for a 20-second clip on this story. So we have the driving up the death count with those three events. You have the tampering of evidence. This is obstruction of justice, interfering with a crime scene, a potential crime scene, and they move the dirt to, and I'll tell you, people say, why'd they move the dirt? Because if directed energy weapons were used, you'd have found chemical residue such as thermite, increased radiation levels, Doug. So the cover-up was in. And people say, well, Dave, why did they want to drive up the death count? And this is something that stumped me for a couple of days. I'm thinking, man, it's like they wanted these people to die. And the more this set into my, see, I don't think this way. You don't think this way. Your audience doesn't think this way because we're not inherently evil. These are very evil people. And I started thinking, this makes no sense. Why would you evacuate the tourists and then lock in the residents? And I'm thinking, holy crap. They wanted these people to die because they want their land. And let me tell you how I know they want their land. I saw one mainstream interview, and you never saw another one with the survivors. Well, after this has happened, what do you fear the most? And typically you get answers like food and water and a place to stay. You didn't hear that. We're afraid of the developers stealing our land. They said that universally.
Yeah.
This is a theme in Lahaina.
Yeah.
So let me tell you why they drove up the death count. If you have six members of a family occupying a property, right? Now the property is destroyed, right? And the developers want it. If the developers don't have any heirs to deal with in the immediate area, let's say the heirs are in the islands now, remote relatives in the chain of succession for inheritance, then these people would be easy to deal with because they're not going to come and fight the state. They're not going to fight the developers. They'll take pennies on the dollar, be happy to get the money, and then move on. So this is why they wanted as many people dead as possible. And here's what's really interesting, Doug, to give you a side supporting point for this. Under violation of Hawaii law, and I've been sent the statute, John Peltier, the police chief, is also the coroner. By being the coroner, he can control the death count. So he made the decision to block the citizens in Lahaina, and he can control the death count. At one time, the death count was 115. And now it's 85. That's what the governor told the UN after the event when he went back and gave another smart city speech. I look at this and I'm saying it's clear to me. They knew what was coming. They were prepared for it. Their execution may have been sloppy, but when you control the government, you get away with a lot more. I'll put it this way. We know the Kennedy assassination was sloppy. This makes the Kennedy assassination look like it was flawless. There are so many holes in their stories. I mean, we didn't turn on the sirens because the air conditioners would have kept them from hearing it. Who believes such nonsense? But Congress is involved too, Doug, and I want to bring this point. For about 3 weeks, I was sounding the alarm on my YouTube channel, and I would imagine other people did the same thing. And why isn't one person in Congress speaking up for the people in Lahaina? Why aren't they moving to restore their properties? We give $6 billion to a terrorist nation in Iran. And Tulsi Gabbard went on Joe Rogan, and she raged like I'm raging. And she said it would take $5 billion to rebuild Lahaina to its original state. Why weren't they doing that? So I said, contact Congress. And this was, I said this every day. Every day I was on YouTube, every day I was on my website, almost every radio broadcast I did, as an aside, I would say, contact Congress. Why are you being quiet? And this is going to be kind of a big deal here, and I get to BlackRock. But what's interesting now is Congress just got involved last week. They're calling in the director of Hawaii Electric and saying, explain why you blocked this exit. Wait a minute. I have the video evidence. The video evidence is omnipresent. They blocked one exit at the request of the police to take care of power lines that were going across the road. That's one exit, one exit. And remember what I said, I've counted 8 exits blocked by John Peltier's people. But Congress is only focusing on the one incident with Hawaii Electric. Now, Doug, this is where I have to take a side turn because now it'll start to make sense.
Okay.
Maui County is immediately, within a week, they filed a lawsuit. I was shocked how fast the lawsuit was filed, but Maui County sued Hawaii Electric. Okay, that's fine. They said, you caused this to happen. They even attacked their green energy programs as a priority over public safety. That's one of the things they said. I thought, whoa, boy, they're even going against climate change here. But Doug, what's really interesting about this is that, remember, they turned off the power 6 hours before. We saw the power lines were not live. We have video evidence of that. And so why is Congress just focusing on this? Well, here's why. Keller Williams, the biggest developer on the islands, and other developers, their number one stockholder is BlackRock. Number two is Vanguard, 19.5%, 14% respectively. Hawaii Electric, the major stockholder, is BlackRock. They're controlling both ends of this, and I'm going to tie this together here. You're saying, well, gee, would they really want BlackRock? Would they want Hawaii Electric to lose? They could lose money. No, they're going to make a lot more money with developers coming in and developing. And remember, they own the majority stock, so they benefit on development in Lahaina and build over those structures that were destroyed. You're saying, well, Dave, explain the BlackRock controlling Hawaii Electric through majority stock ownership. It's simple. Maui County is suing. And I guarantee you, Doug, I've been through this. I have 8 years of property rights experience battles in my own person. So personally, I know this stuff. Yeah. I know this stuff really well. I'm not a lawyer, but I think in this area, I could be a lawyer. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. When the lawsuits begin in earnest from the people of Lahaina, most likely they're going to file in state court. Okay. Now, a judge, and the judges are owned in Hawaii, just like the politicians are, a judge is going to enjoin those lawsuits from the citizens to Maui County. And Maui Electric can't be found culpable here. They didn't do anything wrong. You're not going to get them, Congress, for blocking the exit. Congress is only deflecting and taking attention away from John Peltier and his blocking the exits by focusing on the one incident of one utility truck blocking one exit. And it was only one lane they were blocking, too. And the other places where they blocked the police cars, they parked like this in V. Right. You probably have seen that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So their blockade was complete. Maui Electric's was not complete. But anyway, what's going to happen is there's going to be an out-of-court settlement. And all the people of Lahaina that will sue in state court will be forced to be part of the Maui County lawsuit. Maui County will settle for pennies on the dollar. And what happens in cases like this? Everyone has to sign a non-disclosure agreement. The people of Lahaina will get pennies on the dollar. They'll be silenced forever, and they will be basically moved off the island. Now, we know that Josh Green is moving the people to the Big Island. Tulsi Gabbard said that on Joe Rogan. She's learned this. And James O'Keefe caught the governor saying on tape last week that, yeah, we're taking over the land and we'll build a memorial here. In other words, nothing about rebuilding for the people. It's a fait accompli. They're gone. And they're using the lawsuit of Maui County to neutralize the lawsuits from the people. And this is what I've been trying to get through to some of the indigenous elders I've had contact with. I put it in writing. You probably have indigenous civil rights. In fact, I'm sure they do. All 50 states have protections for the property rights of indigenous people. And they could file a federal lawsuits, several of them.
Yep.
But a judge can't enjoin that lawsuit with Maui County. So anything that's done at the state level can't affect this federal lawsuit. And this is what I've advised the elders to do. And I don't know if they're going to act on it that way, but I'm continuing to talk to other groups. I'm talking to some pastors who are community leaders and so forth. But this is where this is at. No justice for these people at all. But Doug, you know, the biggest thing that's a problem here.
What's that?
The teachers, the students, the administrators. What happened to the 2,400 kids?
And I was going to ask you that. I know we spoke about that off air, but definitely tell the audience your findings, your suppositions based on evidence and research you've done. Go ahead, sir.
The Department of Education of Hawaii listed the Lahaina students totaling 3,001. And you know as well as I do, in an incident involving a false flag event, and that's what I believe this is, and I think Eric West has basically shown this.
Yes.
You know the true stories come out initially. The truest report you're going to get is before they can totally capture the narrative.
Correct.
And what we know is that this two of the three schools started, one started the day of the fire, one started the day before the fire, and one was not scheduled to start until the day after the fire. So we had two of the three schools in attendance. How many of the 2,400 students that accounts for, I've not been able to determine because I can't get anyone from these school districts to return my calls. And I understand why they're not, but I'm just saying two-thirds of those students, you would presume, of the 2,400, okay, are missing. Now let's get down to what happened. Okay.
But weren't all okay. Because of the high winds, didn't they, for the schools that were to be in session, school or schools, okay, were they not ordered to stay home because of the weather conditions at that time or no?
Some of them were sent home. I know that for a fact. They announced very early on, there was an announcement, and I heard this like the second or third day after the event, that the schools sent the kids home. And that's when I knew this was a conspiracy.
Okay.
And let me tell you why. In my former days as a high school teacher, I'd be on committees for lockdown, for bus evacuation. And the policies are controlled by state law in all 50 states and also by FEMA and by DHS. And there are set protocols you must do. Also, in all 50 states, a principal and his designees, which should be teachers and any school support personnel, you must maintain line of sight supervision of all students at all times. Now, obviously, a student's going to go into the bathroom and things like that, but I'm just saying you cannot leave students unattended for any reason. So in a crisis, you really have two choices as a superintendent or a building principal. You can either lock the students down and call for help, or you can put them on buses and evacuate them. Now, we know the buses were used the morning of to ship out the tourists. So they probably didn't have the buses available for the students. I'm not sure how that worked. I counted 10 of the 15 buses. How do I know it's 15 buses? Because the day before the event, we have aerial photo of the bus lot. There were two mini buses and there were 15 large buses that could hold 72 students each. I counted 10 evacuating tourists, but what I can't be sure of is that I saw the entire panoramic view. There could have been 15. I saw 10.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if those buses were available, but here's what I do know. No principal, no superintendent anywhere in this nation, under law, under criminal law, would ever release students to an unsupervised situation. You would have to assume that most of these parents during the day were away at work. Mm-hmm. And so they were gone. So what are you releasing them to? How did you get them home? How many buses were used? The questions are not answering. But here's what we do know. This was reported on Department of Education, which now they've taken this down. 400 students were reported having enrolled in other school districts. 200 students went virtual. That's 600 of the original 3,001 students. So where are the 2,400 students? And let me tell you this. If a principal had released those kids to danger, no, it's not supervised, didn't release them to an authority, then that man would be facing jail, not to mention the fact that everything that he owned would be gone in lawsuits. And the school district would probably be bankrupted in lawsuits because of this. Yeah. So what happened was, well, the way it was reported was irresponsible. This is what I think happened, Doug. A superintendent and a principal were probably approached by the governor, someone like the governor or one of his designees. And they said to him, there's something bad coming. You better get the kids home. Now, let me tell you this. I've talked to supervisors. I've talked to principals, superintendents over this issue. Would you ever have released the kids? Pretty much the answer I've gotten was this. I'm sorry, I can't do that. That's a violation of the law.
Yeah, no.
You will have to take control of the situation, and you'll have to do it. But I recommend you bring in the National Guard or the police. So that's what virtually any administrator, and I'll tell you, anyone who's in school administration right now is shaking their head yes. Dave Hodges is 100% right in what he's saying right here. So something happened with these kids. Now we get the full smorgasbord of conspiracy theories. They were trafficked into tunnels and being used for sex trafficking. I can't prove that. They were rescued by white hat military, intercepted, taken off the buses and being held for their protection. I've been told that by a few people.
Okay.
But the bottom line is we only have one child corpse. A mom who got through the blockades, got into Lahaina, and it was a dad, and he found his 15-year-old son huddling over his dog, and they'd been burned to death.
Yeah.
And that tragic story made the national wires. That's the only report we have of a child. Where are the other children, Governor Green?
And the information blackout is incredible. The fact that news organizations lack interest or have been denied access.
BlackRock is now the majority stockholder in Fox, CNN, CBS, Comcast. I'm in the process of putting together what BlackRock really controls. And then when you put in BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, there are three behind the curtains kind of guys. They all interlock with each other. BlackRock controls 70% of United States GDP, and the three together control 90%. And this is a BlackRock operation. On one hand, the developers, on the other hand, they control the lawsuits through Hawaii Electric, and they can direct an out-of-court settlement that they'll agree to. They'll make a lot more money on the development than anything they pay out from Hawaii Electric. But BlackRock is playing both sides against the middle. And today, there's a meeting on September 25th, today in this day of this interview. Josh Green, the governor, is running this meeting virtually. And he says, this is not about a smart island or a smart city. This is why these people are burned out. And this is a point I want to make. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm going to tell you right here about the final disposition of Lahaina that's going to be decided in this meeting on the 25th, and the time of this broadcast, it's about 8 hours from now when they're going to hold this meeting. And this is going to happen all across the country. Okay, they're going to decide, disposition of people and property. Josh Green does not have the right as the governor to rezone land because it was burned down. He doesn't have that right. You maintain your Fifth Amendment property rights. But he made an emergency declaration the day before that said, if there's a natural disaster, we take control of the zoning, historical preservation site be damned.
How coincidental
acting illegally. Now, in this meeting, they say this isn't about smart islands. This isn't about 15-minute cities. But, Doug, all through the Hawaii websites for the government, they have smart city projects. You don't have to call an elephant to see an elephant to know it's an elephant. And they don't use the term smart cities. But I'll give you an example. There's a map I published on a YouTube. And the map showed, they said, no cars or very few cars, mass transit, bikeways, walking paths, and condensing opportunities that people can access by walking and by biking. You see, that's everything that's in sustainable development goals, which is the underlier for smart cities and 15-minute cities. And today in this meeting in Hawaii, they are bringing in people to absolutely do things like renewable energy, mass transit expansion, removing automobiles. It's all smart. It's all sustainable development goals from the UN or Agenda 2030. It's all about smart cities. In fact, Doug, I'll go one step further. They have a lady in there who's presenting today by midday Hawaii time. And her topic or her title is this, digital currency reform expert. Digital currency reform. What are you doing? You're moving away from the dollar. You're going to digital currency. Ladies and gentlemen, can you say central bank digital currency? And corresponding to that, the state of Hawaii right now is going through a computer revamping and revision where they're taking all their computers connected to finance and economics and putting them under one mainframe. That's what you have to do if you're bringing in CBDC. CBDC, central bank digital currency, means that they can control everything you do with your money. You can't buy meat, can't buy dairy. You can buy bugs, okay? And if you're a bad boy or a bad girl, and we don't like things you say and do, we'll do to you what Justin Trudeau did to the truckers in Ottawa. Seize their bank accounts and anyone who supported them. That's what CBDC is. It's the ultimate enslavement act. And these 15-minute cities, you know, smart cities, they're open-air prisons. And Doug, this is the end of America as we know it. And this is why I've said Maui is the hill to die on. And we need to help these people in any way we can fight this. Because if we don't win that battle, this is sweeping America. This is part of what they call the C40 city concept. And there are 1,100 cities set to transfer. Now, right now, they have 14 cities that are fully implementing smart city growth. San Francisco leads the way at 25% completion. They're eventually on their way, like I said, to 1,100. And folks, this is the end of financial freedom. There's no constitution. And I'll tell you, at the core of this, it's BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. And Robert F. Kennedy said something the other day that will verify what I'm telling you. He said, if you really want to understand what's going on financially in this country, it's BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street. And Doug, I want to get one more thing in we have to end.
Take as long as you want. I mean, we've got, I know you've got some scheduling issues, but we've got about 15 minutes. So you go ahead.
All right. BlackRock is engineering a commercial real estate collapse. And they're like this with the Fed. So the Fed's raising interest rates. And what they're doing is when commercial real estate has to negotiate, there's what, $2 trillion of commercial real estate loans that are going to be renegotiated in the next 3 months, starting in October. And this is really bad news for America because a lot of these businesses are going to fail because they're going to have to come in at the higher interest rates. The economy is failing around them. And so therefore, they cannot get the loans they need at the interest rates they're going to have to pay to stay in business. And this is already happening in San Francisco and LA, where businesses, because of punitive practices towards small businesses and corporations, they're leaving these cities and you have blocks of vacant buildings. But what they're doing with these buildings is they're taking state funds, taxpayer funds, and they're coming in and they're putting the new ecology into them. They're making them smart, friendly buildings. And they're in the process, and this has already started even here in Phoenix, south of me. They've even started turning these factories, these businesses, into single-family dwellings. And they're like some old-fashioned condo, townhome.
Right.
So here's the thing you have to ask yourself, ladies and gentlemen. How will they get me out of my suburban home? How will they get me out of my rural home, like where I live, and get us into a stack and pack city? You collapse the economy. They're also simultaneously taking control of the food supply. John Kerry came out on Friday, and I quote, "Farming is responsible for 33% of dangerous emissions. We have to start by stopping the farming damage."
They showed you
in the Netherlands where this is going, where they banned all farming, and now that's just an absolute chaos. They have roadblocks and protests and riots. It's crazy, but this is what they're moving towards here. They're moving towards total food control. We've had 200 food processing plants destroyed since Biden came into office, and not one federal investigation. But if someone had been smart enough to put Planned Parenthood over one of their buildings, the FBI would have been all over it. So they're letting these businesses go broke. China and Bill Gates are gathering farmland faster than you can count. And they're basically reducing the American farmer to a small minority, and eventually they want to take over all farming. Why? So they can control food. Do you want to eat? Come here. Do you want to drive to work? Well, we're going to make gas so expensive that you can't afford to drive to work. They've depleted the oil reserves. We can't fight a war because of that. They have also canceled the Alaskan oil leases. Just destroys us domestically. And then the only nation that we can really trade with oil is Saudi Arabia. And soon they're going to become a BRICS nation, and they'll be prohibited from accepting the dollar for oil. The price of gasoline last week in Phoenix went up 65 cents in 1 week. And this is a result of Biden policy saying you can't afford to drive to work. That's another way they're going to get people out of the rural and suburban areas into these stack and pack commercial buildings that are going to be converted to living quarters in densely populated urban areas. Welcome to smart cities. Welcome to 15-minute cities. And this is how they're doing. And BlackRock is engineering this commercial collapse. I can come back on your show another day and talk about more detail on how they're doing it. But everyone says the housing market's collapsing. That's true. They're eliminating home ownership. 5% of public institutions own real estate today and home mortgages. That's projected by people like Stephen Schiff, Ray Dalio, Kiyosaki. These really good economists are saying pretty much the same thing. Within 3 months, they expect that number, because of all the loans that have to be renegotiated starting in October, that's going to go to 40%. 40% of public institutions are going to own real estate. And they say they see in early next year, it could be 60%. We're being turned into a nation of renters, and BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard are the driving force. And what's happening, let's tie this into Maui. Okay. This is the outgrowth of what's happening in Maui. The state is showing they can take total control of a land whenever they want, by any means possible, carve it up into a smart city. On the mainland, they may not burn every community out. That's not probable. But what they're doing is creating an economic environment that will force people off their land as if they had been burned out, or even if they have paid off their homes, they can manage to pay the property taxes, which, by the way, in Maricopa County, we're getting reports from our neighbors that they have raised the tax assessment for property by 37%. But if you can stay in your home because it's paid off, then they're going to make it impossible for you to drive to work because of the price of oil. You're going to have to abandon your home and move into one of these commercial houses that they're producing now. So this is why Maui is the hill to die on. We have to stop them there. Wow. Otherwise, these battles on the mainland are going to continue. Folks, we're less than a year away from really the virtual elimination of home ownership.
Think about that. So just to be clear what you're saying, and regardless of the cause of what would happen in Maui, put that aside just momentarily. The consequence, the result, is the exploitation of the land. It would be like my neighborhood burning down, okay? And essentially, my home and my neighbor's home, we cannot get into our homes. We're forbidden from doing that, and nor can we rebuild on our land. Basically,
yeah, let me address not getting into the home, Doug.
Go ahead.
This is part of the cover up. I saw a video that was on Channel 2 out of Honolulu, and they showed a subset. I forget the name, but they were a subset of Billy Graham Ministries. And I'm not saying they're doing anything bad, but they're allowed in protective gear. And they showed them filtering through the dirt on properties belonging to other people. And here's what they said they're looking for. Valuable artifacts and sacred personal possessions. It's pretty close to a quote. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you're letting these people come in and rummage through other people's properties, and you're denying the people who own the properties the right to come in and do the same thing. Why?
I'll tell you why. I'd cut someone in half with a shotgun if it was my house. But
I'm serious. But Doug, let me tell you why. Because the people think do energy weapons. I've talked to enough locals. This is all they say. We know we're the victim of directed energy weapons. Okay. And incendiary smart meters. I didn't tell you this. My general friend I started to bring up earlier,
yeah,
he had drone footage from the Navy that day, and he has a security clearance, so he can look at it. And someone showed him it, and he said, "Dave, I saw entire blocks blowing up." And I said, "What do you know about that?" He goes, "I don't know. I thought you'd know." And I said, "I have no idea." He called in a couple of fire experts who watched the footage with him, and they said, "Well, yeah, we know about this. If it gets hot enough, your smart meter turns into an incendiary device." Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio told me that in the Paradise Fire, the people's homes that survived turned off their power before they left, and the smart meters didn't blow up.
Right.
And Virginia Farver adjudicated a case before the FCC recently that she won, and one of the findings was that frequencies and high temperatures can cause a smart meter to become an incendiary device, and that helped the rapid spread of the fire in Lahaina, because what my general friend saw was one block blowing up, and the fire wasn't progressing linearly. It was progressing block by block. And he says, "My gosh, what is this?" Well, this one ex-fire captain he talked to said, "That's smart meters." He says, "How do you know?" He goes, "We know." He said, "We're told we can't talk about it publicly." I asked for a copy of the footage, and he told me, "I can't, Dave. If they classify this, you'll go to jail."
Yeah.
He said, "With me, the most they can do is take away my security clearance." But do I trust this? Yes, absolutely, I trust this.
Okay, so what you're saying is, not only could the cause of Lahaina be something like directed energy weapons or those weapons, but also the smart meters to exacerbate the already very bad conditions. Okay, so I mean, it's just not necessarily limited to one specific cause necessarily. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think they created the do energy weapon effect with the really big heat up to 2,550 degrees, which is over 1,000 degrees hotter than a wildfire burns. And that intense heat set off those smart meters, and that was a predictable event. And in close quarter neighborhood, like the Lahaina structures, as you saw from the aerial footage, we're not talking 1 and 2 acre plots of land.
Right.
We're talking like an eighth of an acre for the most part. And so explosion, and heat leading to more explosions. And that's probably what we're seeing. But even if we had no conspiracy, let's say it was an entirely a natural disaster. This is an illegal land grab.
Yep.
The state officials are provably people with their own documents are lying about their intention to bring in smart city concepts. In fact, I got a map I showed on YouTube, 65 renewable energy projects in the islands. Oh, yeah, but we're having nothing to do with smart cities or sustainable development goals. That's exactly what this is. The governor is a stooge. And he's just basically, he's the puppet of BlackRock, in my opinion. Congress didn't look at this for weeks. because they're puppets. They're afraid of BlackRock. And so what they're doing now, there's a subcommittee in Congress investigating Hawaii Electric and compelling them to testify. Why aren't you compelling John Peltier to testify as to why he blocked the exits?
There you go.
That should be what's happening.
There you go.
You see,
yep.
Congress has become an agent of the cover-up. That's what I'm telling you.
We are a captured operation. I have said that. I truly believe that to be the case. Dave Hodges, thecommonsenseshow.com. Folks, if you go to his website, I'm looking at his website. I mean, you know, within the last 24 hours, he's published just a ton of information in addition, of course, to his videos. Also, one of the things I was reading right before airtime is what's really behind it? FEMA's October 4th emergency drill is frightening. Folks, take a read on that as well, thecommonsenseshow.com. Support Dave by supporting his sponsors and support him directly as well. Because
Doug, you want me to address the October 4th deal?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'll tell you, at minimum, this is what we're getting. They're testing their ability to take over all electronic devices. And the key for this is to understand what Klaus Schwab said. He said, we need to put social dissidents, you know, by social credit scores into camps.
Right.
Now, Macron came out towards the end of last week, and he said, we're putting social credit monitoring. All data will be reported to centralized agencies. And then we'll use to basically stop crime and all these insurrections happening in France. That's the key. And they're going to bring it here. And I believe they're beta testing this on October 4th, the ability to get into all our electronic devices. People do not cooperate. If you got a Faraday bag, put your laptop and your cell phone in that. If not, put them in the microwave. Don't turn it on. Put them in the microwave, okay?
Or turn it on. I don't have a problem with that, but go on.
I don't want to fry my phone. But here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. They're testing how complete the control is, and we need to screw up their test.
Yes.
That's the bottom line. I'm not cooperating with their test. There's no law to compel you to cooperate with their test. So I would say make sure that you're not cooperating. I'll tell you what doctors are telling me. Doctors who know about the jab, they say that the vaccines last a year or two, depending on what you took and who was the administration agent, but they have to keep giving you boosters to get the same effect. But they believe from their experiments that there's a 5G interaction effect with the graphene oxide that was injected into bodies. And they believe this is a trigger for future diseases that will be terminal. And Doug, let me give some credence to this. I've talked to some insurance actuaries. Our insurance here where I live, it doubled across the board and everything. And we haven't had a claim in years. And so I've asked people why. And I'm not getting straight answers. They said, oh, there are natural disasters. That's a lie. There's no more natural disasters than there has been on a cumulative basis. So I went to some people who would talk to me off the record, insurance actuaries. Mm-hmm. And what they told me is we're paying out an inordinate amount of death benefits. In other words, 47% of our claims is what one person told me. He said that we're paying this out and people are dying 10 years plus their expected lifespan. And I said, well, what do you think it is? He goes, the only new agent that's been universally introduced to our people are vaccines. He goes, it has to be that. But he said, but if we talk about that, we are fired.
That's, well, obviously, yeah. The numbers
so get,
are incredible.
Yeah. Go ahead. Let me tie this back into October 4th. I have doctors who believe that, and I mean good doctors, who believe that this is a test that could activate the graphene oxide inside of people for more deleterious effects. So, you know, Doug, I can't say that that's true. I don't know. What I do know is that the death curve is spiked. Our lifespan in America since the advent of the lockdowns has gone down by 3 full years, from 79 to 76. We're even 1 year below Cuba now.
Marvelous.
This is a nation that's been devastated by Big Pharma.
Wow. Folks, Dave Hodges.
By the way, do you care to guess who the major controlling agents are of the big three pharma companies? BlackRock.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, unbelievable. That's why Dave Hodges gets the respect that he does. TheCommonSenseShow.com, folks. Go there, bookmark that website, watch, listen, and learn. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. I know you're a busy guy. God bless you. Thank you for making time today.
Thanks, Doug. Always my pleasure to come on. Take care.
That'll do it, folks. Have a great day.